Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this very, very important broadcast. We need to understand that Election Day, according to the Constitution, is supposed to be the first Tuesday in November, and yet we're finding it Election Month, and we need to understand that it's not to be several days or several months, but it's the first Tuesday in November, and yet we're finding today it being drawn out, and the drawn-out affair is as a result of the attempt to steal ballots and to destroy ballots and to absolutely fraudulently take over the United States of America by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. Are you concerned about this? What do you think is going to be the end result? Where do you think we're going to be with our religious liberties, the freedom of speech? Do you think we'll still maintain the same level of freedom of speech and religious liberties that we have today if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become president and vice president of the United States of America? Here's an article. I read something similar to that, but this is a different one. President Trump has no immediate plans to concede, sources say. According to Fox News, John Roberts, President Trump, currently has no plans to concede. Fox is told his advisors have been giving him advice in both directions. Some believe a concession is the correct thing to do. That's coming out of some, ladies and gentlemen, some of the wonderful rhino Republicans in the Beltway in Washington are whispering in President Trump's ear, telling him the honorable thing to do would be to concede. The best thing to do would be simply toss in the towel. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, some of the never-Trumpers, some of the rhinos, some of those that have tolerated President Trump for 4 years, they call themselves Republicans, they're coming out of the woodworks now with knives in hand to try to somehow destroy the potentiality of his being reelected. But further, the article states, some believe a concession is the correct thing to do. Others believe he needs to fight to ensure the vote was correct. It appears he will almost certainly ask for a recount in Pennsylvania in addition to the one announced in Wisconsin. He will also likely ask for the recount in Georgia as well. And if he doesn't overtake Biden, Arizona also. There are expected to be numerous court challenges in this process, the nature of which has yet been fully determined. According to one senior aide, the president's attitude is as follows. He is simply skeptical. He warned about this for months. The media didn't take it seriously. No, they didn't. The socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist dictatorship media, they didn't take it at all as being serious. And now, here we are with this scenario of stolen votes. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend our president for his valiant stand. I commend him for what he has done in the 4 years. We're going to look at some of his accomplishments in just a moment. In fact, I read one article that someone listed 125 different things that President Trump had done in relationship to helping Americans, standing for America. In fact, I have in my hands a book that says, For God and Country. It is a case for President Donald Trump, written by Dr. Ralph Reed. And on pages 305 and following, it lists all that President Trump has done. They're too numerous for me to even try to get a portion of them in on this broadcast. But we'll talk about some of them from the standpoint of what he's done for religious liberties and the freedom of speech and for taking a stand for our Bill of Rights. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis.
Good morning, Brother Davis. I hope you're well.
Yes, sir. Everything is going well in spite of the turmoil that we're seeing here that makes one feel very uncomfortable. What's in my mind, the question that I have in my mind, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know the numbers right now, but I have to wonder, did the church show up and vote like they should have? Because I feel like it seems like someone may have still slipped down on the job. In other words, I feel like if we would have gotten together truly, you know, as you and I kept trying to preach so faithfully, you know, on the broadcast, you know, before the election happened, and give warning, fair warning to the church about what the scenario would be if it played out to where it is right now. If they had shown up, Dr. Youngblood, I believe we could have pushed our president over the borderline to where this it wouldn't even play it out to get to where it is right now. So in my mind, again, I'm just wondering. I mean, I haven't seen any numbers on it, but did the church show up and do its fair duty? You know, as
brother, with that question, I've got two observations. Number one, we've got almost an equally divided nation. We've got two worldviews. One is a secular worldview. One is a biblical worldview. And in that, and the second part of that answer is in that biblical worldview, that class of people that we would call Christians, I believe so often we give a tag of Christian to those that go to church. And the church is made up of those that have been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, that are truly saved, that are Christians. And those that, even those that are saved, have so often been dilemmified and deceived by the voices of those that they place confidence in, like John Piper and others that have said that you ought not to vote for President Trump because of some of the things in his past. And as a result of that, to be more succinct with the answer to your question and your comment, I believe that you're exactly right, that multiplied millions of Christians sat on their hands because multiplied thousands of pastors stayed hidden under the bed and in the closet, and hundreds of thousands of pastors had been saying for years and years and years that Christians ought not to be involved. There's some churches that have gone through this entire election cycle that the pastor has not said one word, not one squeak, not one breath has been breathed from his body from the pulpit about this election and the serious nature of the election and how Christians ought to vote and how we need to vote. It is the pastor's responsibility. It is the pastor's responsibility to warn of dangers to come. It's the pastor's responsibility to be the watchman on the wall. It's the pastor's responsibility to watch over the sheep that God has given us charge over according to the scripture. It's the pastor's responsibility to speak the truth in love. It's the pastor's responsibility to call this out and say, this is what this candidate believes, and this is what this candidate believes, and this is what the Word of God says, and therefore, this is how we ought to vote. And as a result of that not being done, I believe you're exactly right, brother. I believe we're seeing the end result of it.
Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, it's a sad situation to let it get to this point, because it seems that though many individuals never learn the lesson that comes out of a situation like this until it's too late. And this is where it seemed like it's going. But I still believe God is in control. And I'm praying, you know, to the end that God would vilify our president, because, yes, there's a lot of inconspicuousness that's going on. There's a lot of, you know, stealing, fraud, different things like that that's going on behind all of our backs as far as what the election has come out to be. And I'm certainly expecting for God to prevail out of this situation.
Well, you're exactly right, too. And going back to the premise of the communication at this point, in DeVault County, here in Jacksonville in the metropolitan area, we have approximately 1,600 religious organizations, i.e. churches, synagogues, et cetera, et cetera. And if half of those had stood in the pulpits and warned the people of how we ought to vote, DeVault County would not have, and the metropolitan area would not have gone blue. This county and surrounding area voted Joe Biden. And yet we have churches on every corner, churches on every street corner in this city. It's because of the mealy-mouthed, phony wolves in sheep's clothing that call themselves pastors that one day is going to stand before God and give an answer for what they have done in urging, encouraging, and saying to their flock that it's okay to vote for Joe Biden and therefore to authorize murder by way of abortion, to authorize the sodomite lifestyle by way of pressing a federal law into place to protect the LGBTQ sodomite community and force the Christians to embrace that and to celebrate that kind of lifestyle.
Amen.
Yes, you're right.
Amen.
I believe that we need to pray and ask God to clean the churches. Pray and ask God to clean house, if you will. And those that are false, phony, and those that are pulling the church of the Lord Jesus Christ down, remove them. I watched one preacher doing a phenomenal job, I believe it was from Leesburg, Florida, that was preaching from the pulpit this past Sunday. I believe it was this past Sunday or Sunday before last, preaching a what would be some would call a political message. And as he introduced where he was going to talk about Joe Biden and the dangers of a Biden administration, he said, I realize this is going to bring some consternation. I realize my message is going to bring some complaints. I realize that my message is going to cause some people in our church to leave. And he said, if you're going to leave, leave quietly and don't disturb the rest of us. In other words, he was saying to his socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic members, if you're going to leave the church because of me preaching the truth, don't let the door hit you as you go out. And that's the position Amen. That pastors need to take. That's standing Amen. On the truth of the Word of God. And I'm thankful Amen. For you and for your stand and for your position that you have attempted to inculcate change in your part of the world that you might impact lives for eternity with the gospel. And I'm thankful Amen. For
well,
that. So we,
well, you know, the scripture ahead. Gives us fair warning, Dr. Youngblood, and it's sad that people do not heed the word of God like they should. And as you said before, right in the church, I mean, it's a shame how many times Christians, so-called Christians, disobey and blunder and make the same mistakes over and over again and then just blatantly disregard the word of God because it warned us in the book 2 Timothy that perilous times were coming and we are facing these times. This is what we're living in right now. And when you go to Proverbs chapter 30, and I'm fixing to get out of your way, verse number 11 says, there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. This is that generation. Mm-hmm. And it says, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. This is that generation.
Yes.
There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is that generation. Scripture warns us over and over again. And we, the faithful few, Dr. Youngblood, you and I, many others who are faithful to the word of God that really love our Savior, I think Amen. We really need to buckle together, join hands together, hand in hand, and let's keep lifting our Savior up because he's going to prevail in the very end. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's a word of hope and encouragement, and that's what all of us need to understand today. Thank you so much Amen. For your call. Have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I must put into this mix. Here's an article that says, how about Michigan? Overnight, an additional 200,000 ballots showed up, all for Joe Biden. Incredible, huh? Why? It's a Christmas miracle, maybe, this writer says. This writer says, last night watching the election results as it came in, it was a near mirror image of 2016. Only this time, the Democrats were ready with a few tricks up their sleeves. Trick number one was not to call states for Donald Trump, even though in places like Florida, it was obvious that he had taken the state. Not calling the state for Trump when everyone could clearly see it won't cause it causes confusion and chaos after it was clear that Trump was on the track to score huge wins in places like Pennsylvania and Georgia. Trick number two was closing the voting places and refusing to count the votes until the next day. That's perfect setup for trick number three. Trick number three is underway right now, and it's something that David Blaine, I don't know if you're aware of him or not, he's a magician, that David Blaine would be quite proud of, making votes for Joe Biden appear by magic out of thin air. Take Wisconsin, for example, 100,000 ballots appear from nowhere, and they were all for Joe Biden. How about Michigan? Overnight, an additional 138,000 ballots showed up, all for Joe Biden. Incredible, huh? Why, it simply could be called a Christmas miracle. Over in the home of Sin City, the Democratic-run Nevada, they're refusing to count any more votes until Thursday. It doesn't get any more crooked and any more rotten than what we see happening right now. Ladies and gentlemen, there is still a potential. Listen to me carefully. This doesn't take a genius to figure out the potentiality of where we would be. Listen carefully. As we're watching the clock tick, as we're watching the ballots being brought in out of thin air, as we're watching the fiat votes, and by the way, I just read an article that a thumb drive was found at one of the voting headquarters, a thumb drive that was falsely labeled, but on that thumb drive were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of ballots. That all they had to do was plug it in, upload it to the system, and bingo, there are thousands more ballots for Joe Biden. And I believe that was in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. But here's an article that says there's still a possibility of a 269-269 Electoral College tie. Here's how this could happen. To win, one of the candidates must receive 270 Electoral College votes. With several states now counting ballots, still counting ballots. However, it could be a while before either President Donald Trump or former Vice President Joe Biden reaches that threshold. In fact, it's even possible that each candidate finishes the race with 269 votes each, meaning neither finishes with enough to win the election outright. Though unlikely, if there's a tie in the Electoral College, the selections of our next president and vice president would be made by Congress. The decision would head to Congress, where the House of Representatives would choose the president, while the Senate would choose the vice president. This is according to our Constitution. In the Senate, each of the 100 senators would vote individually for a vice president. Republicans currently hold 53 Senate seats, and they would likely keep control of the Senate. And Vice President Mike Pence would most likely be reelected. But the United States House of Representatives would vote on and decide who they want as a president. You know who that would be. So if there's a 269-269 face-off, and that's always a potentiality, and what we're seeing happen could bring it about. And if that happens, ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and the squad would determine who the president's going to be by voting the House of Representatives, and the Senate would determine on the vice president, which they would most likely vote for Mike Pence to be reelected. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a conundrum, a absolute challenge. And the only way we can face this challenge is to realize and recognize the dangers that lie ahead of us. And if Joe Biden is reelected, or if Joe Biden is elected as president, ladies and gentlemen, we're in for a serious problem. A good example of that is with the governor of Michigan. She's taken another step toward authoritarian state leadership. And what we see happening, ladies and gentlemen, with Governor Cuomo in New York, with Comrade de Blasio, the mayor of New York, and with the governor of California, and the governor of Pennsylvania, and the governor of Kentucky, and the governors across America, like the one in Michigan, we are watching, ladies and gentlemen, what will be the norm. Hear me. It will become the norm in the repression and the control of the citizens of the United States of America, and in particular, the persecution and prosecution of Christians. Governor Whitmer of Michigan, this article says, takes another step toward authoritarian state after what diners must give up. Ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, with Governor Whitmer, she has declared that every business must take your temperature before you go in. They must get your name, address, telephone number, and all of your contacts before you go into that place of business, primarily speaking of restaurants where you would sit down, and turn those in. And if the business owner refuses to get those documents and turn it into the state government in Michigan, then that place of business can be closed, their license canceled, they could be fined $1,000 per incident and or 6 months in jail. Now, if that's the kind of leadership you want in America, then Joe Biden is your guy. If that's the kind of leadership that you nonchalantly think is okay, Joe Biden is your man. If you're a pastor, preacher, Christian, religious leader, or a Christian in general, and you voted for Joe Biden, shame on you. If you think that you can simply be sustained in our life, liberty, and the freedoms that we have today under a Biden administration, you're just simply whistling in the breeze, as I would simply call it. But I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. We're talking about the stealing of America. Where is Bill Barr? Where is the DOJ? After all of these days that have transpired, Department of Justice is just now coming out. In fact, November the 6th, 2020, at 9:36 a.m. this morning, the Department of Justice spoke. This article headline, Department of Justice investigating vote fraud. Amid allegations of voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election, the Department of Justice has opened an investigation in response to a formal complaint. Lawyers for the Nevada Republican Party sent the referral to Attorney General William Barr, describing evidence of 3,062 instances that they have recorded and have factual information on voter fraud. We expected that number. We expect that number to grow substantially. The Nevada GOP said on Twitter, thousands of individuals have been identified who appear to have violated the law by casting ballots after they have moved from Nevada. A lawyer for the Trump campaign said voters were cross-referenced with the National Change of Address database, and it was learned that many had received and returned ballots by mail, and they no longer were residents of Nevada. Voter fraud is a serious federal felony, one that cuts to the heart of our representative form of government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying is that we finally have Bill Barr and the Department of Justice that's taking a stand. What that will mean, what it will do, only God knows. And the question is, where are the so-called conservative Republicans? They're silent. They're silent. In fact, some that are whispering in the ear saying, you need to toss in the towel, you need to concede, you need to just simply say you've lost the race. But ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Turley, a constitutional lawyer, says the Democrats have become enablers of corporate free speech control, end quote. I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, it's very troubling for me. I've been talking to all my family members here in another state. They all voted for Republicans' tickets, Republican representatives, Republican congressmen, and president. There's no way that you got so many Republicans winning nationwide in the Congress and House of Representatives because they thought that they were going to have a blue wave, but it's the opposite. And don't tell me that they are going to vote for Republicans through the whole country, but not for the president. I'm sorry. This is a thing to high heavens. And
it
so
does, absolutely, and you're exactly on target with your thoughts and with your comments. And let me remind you and our listeners, in the 2016 and the 2018 election, in the midterm election in 2018 in California, we had three Republican representatives that had won the race. But about 30 days later, that was reversed because they, quote, found ballots and recounted ballots and reestablished that, and they had not won after all. And I believe that's what we're going to see taking place across America. And if we allow, if the courts, if the Supreme Court allows this to continue to run nonchalantly, where they continue to count ballots, continue to find ballots, continue to falsely mark ballots, I believe we're going to find major catastrophe on all levels of the down ticket ballots, not just the president. But you're exactly right. And I'm concerned, and I believe that you are saying that. Go ahead.
There are people voting. There was somebody in Spanish-speaking. He checked his family. He lives in Puerto Rico now. He checked for his family because they moved from, I believe it was Indiana, Pennsylvania, to Puerto Rico like 3 years ago. And they appeared as registered voters in Pennsylvania. That they cast the vote in Pennsylvania. And they are saying, wait a minute. We've been in Puerto Rico for the past 3 years. There's no way. So there needs to be an investigation because this cannot continue. This is fraud. And unfortunately, many of the Republicans are silent.
Are silent. You're right. Well, here's what I believe needs to happen. This is just me, and I pray that our listeners would pray to God that God would intervene with this. Every ballot, not some, not a few, every ballot that's deemed to be past the deadline or that's deemed to be fraudulent or deemed to be incorrect as far as the completion of it, filling it out, all needs to be cast out and not counted at all. Or we need to go back to each of these states, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, et cetera, and simply cancel everything and have the citizens to re-vote, to go back and vote again. I believe that would be according to our Constitution, and I believe that would be the only thing that would be honorable before God.
We got a lot of prayer to do, brother. This is not good, and I think the devil is fighting hard because he doesn't want somebody in the White House that is not perfect, don't get me wrong, but at least he has some fear of God in him left. So let's keep him in prayer, and let's see what happens. God bless you, brother. Have a blessed weekend.
God bless you. Thank you for your input. You're exactly right. Jonathan Turley says the American left is mirroring China in its censorship of free speech it doesn't like, says liberal scholar, a liberal legal scholar, Jonathan Turley. He says, We are up big, but we are trying to steal the election, the president wrote. They're trying to steal the election, the president wrote. We will never let them do it. Votes cannot be cast after the polls are closed. That's from President Trump, based on what Jonathan Turley says. Ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that President Trump has done what he's done for protecting religious liberties. President Trump has suspended the executive order by executive order, and any enforcement of the Johnson Amendment, which prohibited pastors and churches from doing anything in public or from the pulpit about the political issues. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If for nothing else, no other reason, we ought to see and continue to pray and ought to pray to the end that President Trump will go back in office. If he does not, Joe Biden has already said he will cancel every one of those executive orders that President Trump has put in place. And that would include the religious liberties of freedom that President Trump gave us through his executive order that canceled the Lyndon Baines Johnson 1954 rider that was on a transportation bill that silenced pastors for over 50 years. President Trump issued an executive order prohibiting the U.S. government from discrimination against Christians or punishing people of faith. President Trump signed an executive order upholding our religious liberties and the right to engage in religious free speech. President Trump brought back the phrase Merry Christmas into the public arena, including in governmental circles. Ladies and gentlemen, a Biden administration will truly rob America and American Christians of our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our entire Bill of Rights, the right to keep and bear arms, and the right to freely assemble together. Joe Biden will force a federal mask mandate. He will force the COVID-19 vaccinations. There will be no more religious liberties from the pulpits, from radio or television or printed page or publications under a Joe Biden administration. The Green New Deal under a Biden administration will destroy America's industry and trade. America that we have known for all of these years will simply dissipate, disappear, and be eviscerated under a Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. We need to ask God to intervene. We need to ask God to heal America and to give President Donald J. Trump victory at the final end of all that's said and done. Pray for our spiritual leaders that they will take a stand for truth and for the Word of God and for what God is doing through President Donald J. Trump. We need to pray seriously, ladies and gentlemen, and see this to the end and ask God to give President Trump tenacity and strength and wisdom to keep on fighting. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1/2 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM. For expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.